A favorite sport was to walk out to the perimeter and throw snowballs in front of the laser. See how small a snowball you could throw and still set the weapon off. It seemed to me that the entertainment value of this pastime was about equal to watching a faucet drip. But there was no real harm in it, since the weapons would only fire outward, and we had power to spare. For 5 months, things went pretty smoothly. Such administrative problems as we had were similar to those we'd encountered on the Masaryk II, and we were in less danger, as passive troglodytes, than we had been scooting from Collapsar to Collapsar, at least until the enemy showed up. I looked the other way when Rudkoski reassembled his still. Anything that broke the monotony of garrison duty was welcome, and the chits not only provided booze for the troops, but gave them something to gamble with. I only interfered in two ways. Nobody could go outside unless they were totally sober, and nobody could sell sexual favors. Maybe that was the Puritan in me, but it was, again, by the book. The opinion of the supporting specialists was split. Lieutenant Wilbur, the psychiatric officer, agreed with me. The sex counselors, Cogdi and Valdez, didn't. But then they were probably coining money, being the resident professionals. 5 months of comfortably boring routine. And then along came Private Graubard. For obvious reasons, no weapons were allowed in the living quarters. The way these people were trained, even a fist fight could be a duel to the death, and tempers were short. 100 merely normal people would probably have been at each other's throats after a week in our caves, but these soldiers had been hand-picked for their ability to get along in close confinement. Still, there were fights. Graubard had almost killed his ex-lover, Sean, when that worthy made a face at him in the chow line. He had a week of solitary detention. So did Sean, for having precipitated it. And then psychiatric counseling and punitive details. Then I transferred him to the 4th Platoon, so he wouldn't be seeing Sean every day. The first time they passed in the halls, Graubard greeted Sean with a karate kick to the throat. Diana had to build him a new trachea. Graubard got a more intensive round of detention, counseling, and details. Hell, I couldn't transfer him to another company. And then he was a good boy for 2 weeks. I fiddled their work and chow schedules so the two would never be in the same room together. But they met in a corridor again. And this time, it came out more even. Sean got 2 broken ribs, but Graubard got a ruptured testicle and lost 4 teeth. If it kept up, I was going to have at least 1 less mouth to feed. By the Universal Code of Military Justice, I could have ordered Graubard executed, since we were technically in a state of combat. Perhaps I should have, then and there. But Charlie suggested a more humanitarian solution, and I accepted it.